This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be with you this morning. Can I just do a quick straw poll? How many of you in the room are parents? Okay, so about a fifth. How many of you work with local authorities or PCTs? About the same number, interesting. And how many of you work for charities, voluntary organisations? Gosh, wow, okay, that's really interesting. Okay, well, in which case I might well adapt my slides accordingly. Thought I'd better check. Right, what I had been asked to talk about was the Green Paper, which the Department for Education may well be publishing shortly, well, hopefully we'll be publishing shortly, on special educational needs and disability. But what I wanted to do was do that within some context, and it might well be that you've also got a context that you'd want to share during the question and answer session. So I'm going to go through some of that context, talk about some of the key principles of the Green Paper, the government's Green Paper that we are expecting, hopefully, and some of the issues that flow from that, some of the risks and opportunities. You may well have heard a bit about all these issues that are on that slide during the course of the day. The fact is that the world has changed dramatically, and I think all of you out there will have experienced that. Anna referenced the big society a bit earlier. Actually, we're not going to get a definition, by the way, because Nat Way, who's the government's advisor on the big society, has decided we don't need one. What we actually just need to do, apparently, is keep talking about it, so let's talk about it. But I think one of the key things is, I mean, Contact to Family has been working alongside parents to champion parent participation for years. So Anna was right to say that parent participation is not some kind of invention of the Aiming High programme. It's something that had been going on for a long time before Aiming High. And what Aiming High did was give us an opportunity to take that on a stage that across all of England, we were involving families with disabilities. Disabled children in making decisions about what happens locally. And if you look at some of the key elements of the big society, it is parent participation. I mean, effectively, it is actually local people driving what happens to local services locally. So if you are from a local authority, and I think it's unlikely that you're going to be here at this conference if you're also thinking, great, I can forget about parent participation now, we can put that to one side, it won't matter anymore. Because actually, that ain't where the game is at. The game is at how local decision makers will be involving their communities around shaping services across a whole range of things, not just services for disabled children and their families. And actually, part of the role that Contact to Family has been doing is driving that agenda and using parent participation as a model, talking with government, talking with local government, talking way beyond disabled children's issues to show what the work that's happened around disabled children and the work that's going on across this sector can actually inform that big society. It is a massive agenda out there, and it's an agenda that we should grasp because basically we're it, and we've got a lot of the solutions in our area. We've heard a lot about reduction in public funding. We can't get away from it, but we've also heard from Anna and Sue's presentation that by involving people in decision making, actually we can get quite a lot of mileage, not just in terms of cost savings, but actually in terms of better services, because that's fundamentally what matters, better services for people locally. One of the things, I don't know whether you've talked very much about this morning, but one of the whole kind of areas of change which will be affecting us is the fact that government are wanting to put more power into the hands of local decision makers. That's at local authority level, PCTs while they still exist, GP commissioners when they are up and running. So one of the things that they're saying very loudly to local authorities and PCTs, but also to the voluntary sector and to parents with disabled children in our sector, but also more broadly, the local communities, is it's not going to be about where government are at. So this is actually about us It's quite scary, I have to say, but it's going to be about us working with local decision makers and national decision makers to effect change. And that whole devolution of power, that pushing power out away from central government into the power of local authorities and PCTs, means that actually local authorities and PCTs aren't going to have very many places to hide around disabled children's services because of the work that many parents are doing across the country to shine a light on what you're doing and actually get involved in those decision-making. Massive opportunities. We've talked about the pace of change. I'm not going to talk about that now. But there's also a seismic shift in the whole concept of education and how we educate our children in this country, which is a huge backdrop for a lot of the work that will need to happen around our children and our families. So in terms of the Green Paper, the government decided or ministers decided very early on in the new coalition government that they wanted to set out a vision for disabled children and their families. And they were very, very clear about that. And this government's approach to doing that is to hold a series of what they call round tables, where they get various people around the table, interestingly enough, with ministers to then kind of tease out some of the issues. And some of the very earliest round tables that this government did were around disabled children and around families with disabled children. And I think that's actually very, very significant, because we got our round tables a good few months before many other kind of sectors within the world, so to speak. So I think that's very, very useful. And the fact that, you know, the call for views went out to inform the government's Green Paper very early, I think, was very, very significant. And one of the things which, as I say, that the government really want to do is create a vision for our children. But one of the aspects of that is a lot of the language around that is about schools, and I think there are pros and cons to that, which I'll come on to later. But one of the things that they've also just announced, actually last week, is that there is likely to be funding streams around the whole special education needs and disability Green Paper. Now, what those funding streams will look like, whether they're for the voluntary sector, whether they're for the public sector, who will actually be able to access these funds, who knows? We don't know. But the fact that, again, that they're signalling beyond the comprehensive spending review that there will be pennies to bid for, and I think it will be pennies, it's not going to be like megabucks, is actually a very good sign for us. How many people actually put in responses to the Green Paper? Quite a few people. OK, well, I'm not going to go over the next few slides in huge amount of detail, but for those of you that didn't, there are some. What the government did is said that we want to do a Green Paper. We're going to publish it at some time in the autumn, but before we sit down and write it, what we want is your views about the content of that Green Paper and the principles should be. And some of the principles they talked about was greater transparency about decisions. They talked about, very, very importantly, they talked about parents being the partners in decision-making. And what they meant by that was partly at the strategic level, the sort of stuff that Anna and Sue and Maurizio have been talking about, but actually also partly about at an individual level, parents making decisions about their own children. They talk about effective use of limited resources, and we've heard a little bit about that. We've talked about less bureaucracy. This is what the Green Paper, one of the Green Paper principles. Fundamentally, they've talked about actually really ratcheting up the expectations of what our children can achieve. They've talked about local solutions, and they've basically identified five priorities that the Green Paper will cover. And those of you that have put in views to the government will know this. And they are about better educational outcomes, actually improving the life chances of our kids. They've talked about early interventions, which, from what I can gather, you've talked about a lot today. They've talked about greater choice for parents, but a lot of the language around greater choice has been about schools, which is interesting. And they've talked about actually trying to get more joined up services, which, you know, haven't we all been trying to do that for about the last 50 years, but they want to do it again, so let's have a go. And critically, what they've also been talking about is streamlining assessment. That's a huge thing that they want to tackle, the fact that it's such a messy, laborious, ridiculous process for getting assessments for children. I think there are some kind of risks and opportunities from this work and from some of the stuff that we've talked about before. I think one of the risks is we've talked a little bit about the fact that the pace that this government is working at is phenomenal. I mean, you daren't kind of go to sleep at night, because when you wake up in the morning, there'll be 10 more initiatives coming out of government that we've suddenly got to respond to. Oh, my God. But the thing that I think I find as difficult as the fact that the pace at which we're working is ridiculous and we can't possibly keep up with it all is that actually that there are different bits of work are moving at different paces. And for me, that's a much, much greater challenge, because how you pull all of that together to make effective differences for families with disabled children is a question in my head. I don't have the answer. If any of you have the answer, for God's sake, share. Less bureaucracy is one of the big themes, but and I'm all for less bureaucracy. Who the hell wants bureaucracy? But you do need actually a certain amount of bureaucracy, but it has to be the right bureaucracy. And what I fear is that if we get rid of the wrong bits of bureaucracy, that will mean less accountability. And I think what we've got to be absolutely clear about is that we're not losing accountability in losing bureaucracy, if that's what we end up doing. Because I applaud the government's desire to put shed loads of information about how Wiltshire Council spends £2.50 on the website. Marvellous, you know. But actually, if that information isn't intelligible, if that information isn't usable by parents with disabled children, by voluntary organisations, by whoever it is that wants to scrutinise what local areas do, in a sense, it's not that helpful to us. So we want the right bureaucracy. Yes, less bureaucracy, but the right bureaucracy. And one of the things that I think we've heard through some of the presentations this afternoon, and potentially you've heard this morning, is the fact that in some areas, people are motoring around making changes for disabled children and their families. They are absolutely motoring apace. Less so in other areas. And what I worry about is that for those areas where perhaps there isn't the will, there isn't the champions that we've heard talk about earlier this afternoon, what happens to those areas? What happens to those areas where actually the parent forums that Contact a Family has been so actively involved in supporting the setting up of, what happens when they're still a bit fragile? They haven't quite got together yet. You know, they're still needing a bit of confidence building. They're still needing a bit of support. What happens in those areas? And I think that really, really does worry me. I think another risk is that if you look at the language of this government, one of the things that is a big theme of this government is education. And I accept what we were hearing earlier about the fact that there's a disjunct between thinking about education in the round and where disabled children's education and those the education of kids with extra needs. But I would add to that, actually, education isn't everything. You know, education is not the sum total of what families with disabled children want for their kids. And it's what part of what they want for their kids, but it's not all of what they want for their kids. What happens to the rest of the agenda? Because if more than any other group, I think, families with disabled children really need this kind of aspiration of joined up services where social care fits with healthcare, which fits with education, everything locks together. And actually, you don't want an imbalance in any way. And we need to really kind of watch for that. However, I do believe.
Where are you? I just want to time it.
I'm on my last slide.
Make sure people have got time for questions.
Yeah, on my last slide. I've done quite well. I'm only on 10 minutes,
you
know.
You've done quite well, but we've
listened to her. Don't worry.
Were you ferocious? Yeah.
No, that's fine.
No,
that's absolutely fine. Don't worry, but I'm still. You should just use 30 seconds of my time left. I mean, what am I to do? Right, opportunities. I do think there are opportunities here. Sorry, Liz, we know each other well. We can do this. Because I think one of the things which I think is really, 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 really fantastic is disabled children still matter to this government. Disabled children still matter. When the government was first set up, they set up something called, first came into power, they set up something called the Childhood and Family Task Force. One of the key areas that they were looking at, this is a task force that's going to be chaired by David Cameron, is being chaired by David Cameron. One of the areas that they've chosen to look at is families with disabled children, specifically around short breaks. But that is an enormous opportunity. And I think that we've got to hold on to that. I think that also we've got a minister who cares cares. We've genuinely got a minister in Sarah Tether who cares about disabled children. For my sins, part of my job is having to go to all of the party conferences in the autumn. And I went to various sessions that Sarah Tether was speaking at, whether or not they were to do with disabled children, but she always talked about disabled children. We went to sessions on poverty, she talked about disabled children. She was on the main platform, she talked about disabled children. This is absolutely part of her main priority area of thinking, and I think that really matters. I do think, though, that to some extent we have to create our own opportunities. And I think certainly one of the things that Contact a Family has been very actively doing over the last year or so is taking disabled children and their families and their issues outside of that narrow little box of children with disabilities and families with disabled children, and taking it very forcefully and very actively into other agenda areas. And that is paying off, because actually I think we are being much more visible as a result of the work we've done in the whole big society debate. We are being much more visible in the whole family relationships issue, which is going to be a massive issue for this government. That wouldn't have happened without effort. And I think those opportunities exist to take our families and make them matter beyond the 10 people in a room who might be responsible for disabled children. I think there is a massive opportunity to do that locally as well. And if anyone wants to come and talk to me about that, please do, because we've done it very successfully nationally. And that is the future for our children. They aren't going to be stuck in a little box if we can help it. They might be if we don't do anything about this, but actually there's a massive opportunity here. And I hope that, you know, you join with all of us in this room, we can join together to make that a reality. I'll shut up now, Liz.
Don't shut up.